What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Buckets and Banter podcast. I am your host, George Marshall, along with my co-host, Jeffrey Maximiliano Bendel III. Jeff, what is up, my man? Big week for you guys on at the Phenom Hoops at the Phenom Hoops level. How's everything going?
Doing good. I like this nickname or this middle name better than the ones you've been doing. So we're trending in a positive direction.
Am I getting closer to your actual middle name?
Oh no. You're getting more obscure for sure, but it's
To
fun nonetheless.
all listeners, this is going to be a unique episode because we're actually going to scrap our traditional setup and our agenda. And we're going to focus the entirety of this conversation on rankings. And the reason for that is because Phenom and other companies recently have begun releasing both state and national rankings. And it goes without saying that this is one of the most polarizing topics when it comes to basketball that exists in our country right now. It's something that people are on varying levels with and on varying ends of the spectrum. But it is important to know a couple of things. So, for one, all Phenom rankings have been released for the classes of 26, 27, and 28 in North Carolina. On3 has updated their rankings for the national classes of 26, 27, 28. So we're in a really exciting time right now for that. It's a cause for a lot of debate, and we're here to discuss it. So, Jeff, just talk us through a little bit as someone who's just in these rooms and kind of navigates this process, like, the pros and cons, like, what do you go through to get to these lists?
I think each year gets a little bit easier. Some years are more difficult than others, just based off of the type of kids that are in the class and kind of where they fall. Overall, though, I think everybody has their own different criteria when ranking. Obviously, we at Phenom have multiple people that come together and rank a group of kids. I have a list here of hundred over probably 200 kids, and we come together and we rank these kids individually and then discuss it. And for me, I'm trying to mainly project forward in my personal rankings. And I'm looking at where these kids are going to go to, what level they're going to go to, and maybe not even what level they'll necessarily go to, but where they're going to end up and whether they'll be successful, in my personal opinion. And I think, long-term success is my biggest factor. Long-term projection is my biggest thing. A lot of others can and will factor in current day success, not so necessarily saying with our company, but just in general. And that's, fair because someone like Deontay Neal deserves recognition for everything he's done. He's one of the greatest winners I've ever seen personally. So if that wants to be mirrored in a ranking based off of whoever's criteria, then that so be it,
I think that the process that you guys go through is really fascinating because I think the biggest mistake or misconception that people might have, or one of the biggest, is that it's one person whose voice kind of carries everything. And that's just simply not true. I mean, that's not true for you guys. That's not true for On3 and Rivals. That's not true for 24/7. Like, there is legitimate deliberation that goes into this. And there's a lot of thought that goes into it. And so I know that rankings may or may not make people really excited about the possibility or really make them upset because they feel they should be ranked higher. But at the end of the day, I think that Jeff's perspective here is really important to all the listeners because this is what goes into it. This is not like a we've never seen you type process. Now, is it possible to see every kid? No, that's literally impossible. It's impossible for everyone. But based on film, based on timelines, based on, reclasses, like there's a ton of factors that go into this process. But talk to me about the thought process behind. Are you ready to kind of go into the specifics of the North Carolina rankings a little
Yeah,
bit?
we can start wherever.
Cool. Let's talk about just your take on the class of 26. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts are there.
Yeah, so I think it's fair to say this is a class where two number one players left the class. Cole Rosario classed up, went to Kansas. I think it's fair to say he would have been in contention for that spot. Cole Kloher, he went to IMG. He would have been in contention for that spot. So if not, definitely one of those two
Sure.
that would have claimed it. It's just one of those classes where there's a lot of really good players, and I don't think any like high clear superstar player at the next level. Will Stevens is the top spot in our rankings.
Right.
It's just he obviously had some ups and downs early in the summer with Team CP3. Then he goes to Upward Stars, and I think he really flourished in a different role, especially offensively with them. So he goes there, and I think it's just safe to say he's going to be his floor in college as what he is as a rim protector, a simple player, low maintenance guy that can run the floor. He finishes around the basket, he stretches the floor, and he blocks shots.
Yeah.
So as he adds strength, he's just going to be a really good player, I think, wherever he goes.
I think that what people need to realize as well when they're listening is it's one thing to put yourself in a position, like it's the exposure versus exposed argument, right? It is arguable that Will Stevens had one of the best summers nationally once he got to July. Like when he made that switch from CP3 to Upward, he really took off. And I think that the Adidas circuit did him wonders. I'm not being biased with this conversation, I promise. It's just a fact of the matter. And that's not necessarily to say that that was the right fit for him at CP3, but huge shout out to Will. That's a great accomplishment. I know that there was a lot of discussion about Kendre. I think physically we can both agree that he is the most imposing player in North Carolina, period.
Unique specimen.
Say it again.
Unique specimen. I mean,
Totally
physically
unique,
one of
and
the
like
one of one that I've ever seen.
it's unbelievable the way that he competes and the level of physicality that he plays with. And I'll be honest, I think that kind of the next step that I would look at in terms of this conversation is as I scroll down this list, what this makes me think of a lot is the importance of decision making within your school and your AAU program. And so I'm going to give you an example. And this is again not a knock to any program. It's just the reality of the kid's situation. I really think that Johannes, for example, is for sure going to be a high major player. There's no debate. I mean, his list is all high major. Those are committable offers, and he's done a tremendous job of bouncing back towards July and into the rest of the summer in AAU. But I know that he started the AAU season slow, and I wonder if upon reflection, that could be a bit more about, well, I should have gone here first, or I could have gone here first. And again, he's going to be a high major kid. He's going to be totally fine. But when I look at this list, I think, like, man, could he really have cracked the top three based on his production? Maybe. I mean, he's that type of player. He's one of the unique defenders nationally that I've seen. And so I think that that is something to just be aware of in general. Were there any that kind of like caught your eye or any kids that you're like, man, this kid made a huge jump? I see one in the top 10, but I'll let you kind of discuss that.
I mean, I think you can even look in the top five. Justin Caldwell, jumped 10 spots, just one of the more productive guys. Committing to Georgetown, he seems like he's an Ed Cooley type of guy. If he could go there and he's as productive as he's shown, he's got a lot of potential. Who are you thinking? Of
I was thinking Jones. I mean, Jones Lay,
course.
like going over to Moravian, doing great on the UA Rise circuit with TLBA. Tremendous, tremendous growth. Recently took an official visit to Florida, I believe. Is that right?
He just committed.
Oh, is that on here?
Maybe I'm misspeaking.
Well, don't break news that you don't need to break since we're releasing this the next day. But,
No,
yeah,
he
I
committed.
mean, huge, that's awesome. Like, imagine that story for that kid to continue to track forward and push through. And just the way that he was able to do that, I think, is tremendous. So, huge shout out to him. One thing I will say about this class before we get into the class of 27 is like, this class is, let's just call it what it is. They've been decimated by people leaving. It's just what it is.
And reclassing.
Outside of Cole and outside of Cole. You're looking at Josiah Sanders. You're looking at Taurus. You're looking at Marcus Kerr. You're looking at all these different guys who either left for reclasses or to go to different schools.
River's night.
Rivers Knight. So you're talking about potentially right there, with just those six people, probably six of the potential top 10 players in the class. And I think you would agree with that.
Yeah, for sure.
So as a result, I mean, does that belittle the accomplishments of the people on this list? Absolutely not. But in terms of the star power of that class, I think that that speaks more to the fact that people are seeing the potential in a lot of North Carolina kids and they're coming to get them with these other opportunities. Does that mean we as a state need to do something better, or the schools in the state, or the opportunities? Maybe. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question, but I would love to have seen this list of original North Carolina guys. That would have been a really fascinating list for sure. But let's move.
That could be
Go
the case
ahead.
every year.
Yeah, and I think that we're about to discuss it as well when we talk about the class of 27. So let's get into that class. What are your general thoughts, or how are you feeling about it overall?
I mean, obviously, I think it's fair to say two of the top three are still not in the state with CJ now leaving and on top of King, who had already left. But
LJ.
still extremely strong overall, especially you look at the top five, top 10, a really, really strong group, I think, of prospects. And then you keep going beyond that. A lot of guys with a lot of potential, I think, that
Yes.
have shown a lot of flashes. And it'll be interesting to kind of monitor the next 10 over the next calendar year.
Love the Jay and Connor, is that right? I love that at 13. How about KJ Terry, 14? Like two huge potential guys. Love the I don't want to mispronounce his name, but Reed, who's at CPI. Like what a huge potential guy there, and to see his ascension has been great. Shout out to DJ for that. I know that he's really excited to coach him. There's a ton of guys here that I think are really, really unique, but what I think about in terms of the class of 2027 is the number of players who have had that ascension into the ranking that they have gotten to. So you can start with Trevor Manhurts at four. You can go to Garron Holmes at five. You can go to Thomas Vickery at seven. These are all guys that, to be honest, I believe, and I don't know if this was correct, but they have not been in the top 10 previously.
That's correct.
So now for them to kind of elevate themselves and demonstrate real high major capabilities, all of them now have at least one high major opportunity and a scholarship offer. It's pretty amazing to think about what that looks like.
Well, and it's also worth noting, I mean, Jordan Page is not number one just by default. You know,
No, yeah,
he's
in
also,
fact, yes.
yeah, he's a guy that's continued to improve. I don't want to just kind of
No,
overlook one guy here. So, I mean, Jordan Page, I think CJ and King leaving kind of overshadows what he's done and kind of how he's improved over the last 6 to 8 to 12 months. And he's continued to trend upward. You see him ranked over guys like Charles Per and RJ Moore, and then other guys like Trevor Manhurts and Garron Holmes, Kamaje Jenkins, who's already a nationally regarded kid, Thomas Vickery, who's trending up as much as anybody, King Kendrick, one of the top guards in the state. So, and the list goes on and on. But it, you know, Jordan Page representing the number one spot, I think, is also really important.
Yeah, I think that it's a huge point that you just made. I love, huge shout out to Kamari Nicholson for earning that distinction at 23. I know that he's been working his butt off for us. I think that that's pretty impressive to see that. But again, I think that, it's another class where unfortunately it's kind of overshadowed by who's left. So a lot of weight on these guys' shoulders to continue to represent the Hoop State at a high level, and I think that they're going to do that going into this year.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's still a really high level group, especially that top 10. That's really proven, in my opinion. I think all these guys have really, really shown a lot, especially in the last 6 to 12 months.
I'm excited to talk about the class of 2028 because that's kind of the first class that has not been poached yet. I think that that will be a class that is impacted by that.
As Mason Collins is gone.
That is kind of due to moving, though, right? That's not necessarily due to, like, isn't he playing for his dad? Well, I mean, come on. Like, what are we? That's a little different. That's not like Link comes in and like, you know what I
Did his
mean?
dad take the coaching job?
I don't know the answer to this. I'm just going based on what I've heard. So I have no idea. But obviously, I think you would agree he would be one if he was here. Okay. So outside of him leaving, God, so three number ones, Lord have mercy. So they all, but the top 10 is still elite in the class of 28. And I think that you would agree that this is a class you're really excited about. So talk us through kind of the top 10. We probably won't go as in depth because these guys still have a lot to prove in their high school careers, but big sophomore campaigns coming up for sure.
Yeah, I think that for me personally, as much as there's so many good players here that I'm really, really tantalized by and just enticed by overall, the top three to me is extremely strong.
Yes.
Xavier Hall leading the way is as good of a big man as you're going to find at this age group, at this point in his career. Kahari Coleman is really
Dog.
just starting to blossom into what he's
Dog.
going to become, and it's
Dog.
frightening. Because he had like I and then Aaron Parker, another guy who's just starting to
Dallas.
ascend. When I think of these that first grouping, I just think special potential long-term guys. AJ Mormon, obviously
Yeah.
as good as a guard as there is in the class, but then you have guys like Chase Smith, Micah Gunter, very proven players as well. Micah
Right.
Gunter might have had the best summer of anybody on this list.
Right.
Mekhi Allen, I think, has as much upside as anybody.
Yes.
And when he looks good, he looks amazing. So he's one. Jahlil
Yes.
Smith back at Huss, as polished of a guard as you'll find at this point. Julian Tweedy, I think, is another
I love that one. I love that one.
really
I love that one.
intriguing. His
Yes.
versatility, what he is defensively
I
already,
love
is
that one.
so fascinating. And as he develops his jumper and ability to create off the bounce, he's got good vision. He's just going to continue to grow. Breland Moses, another guy who's already really
Right.
polished, has a refined game. Cam Moore is another guy I think is going to long term be in
That
this top
dog.
10,
Yes.
top five. And that's not even a biased shout out for your loaded guy, but love his game. So and there's several others that we can go further in depth on in this class. I mean, if you'd like to, but a lot of good players here early.
Yeah, I think that it's a tremendous class. I'm really excited to think about what they're going to do for 2020, just the sophomore campaigns that they have. The top three, what I really liked about the way that you guys approached it is this balance of like bigs, guards, and wings. It's hard to go against a big as dominant as Zay right now. Like, I understand that people may think about like, well, long-term potential, does he grow? Does he do this? Does he do that? Guys, like, it's really unbelievable if you have not seen Xavier Hall play live, the way that he tries to dunk everything. He would rather miss a dunk than make a layup. Now, that is something he needs to fix long term because you can't always do that, especially when you play players your own size. But for right now, it's 100% the right mentality to have this bully type of dog mentality that he has. I mean, when I saw him play Caldwell in June, I knew what it was. I mean, I knew what it was. And it was really, really impressive to see that. Kahari's phenomenal. We've talked about Kahari, we talked about AJ, we've talked about all those guys who just have this natural and amazing feel for the game. I recently saw Kahari play live at the Presbyterian Elite Camp. And honestly, like, even though I think he would admit that that was not his best showing, it's just the feel. It's the automatic paint touch corner kick. It's the automatic, like, it's not just scoring. Like, he plays the game the correct way. His IQ is outstanding. He's going to be in for a massive year at West Charlotte. AP, I mean, I've told you this many times, and I'll just go on record as saying this. Like, if you had to have a draft out of the 2028 class, I would pick AP first. Like, the long-term potential of Aaron Parker is honestly, it's insane. Like, 6'7", he just turned, like, really hear this, everyone, 15.
That's insane.
Like, this is not a kid that's like a holdback, an older, a reclass, any, like, he is a young sophomore and he is just scratching the surface of how good he can be. But again, those three kind of lead the way. But I'll tell you, like, whether it's Makai, whether it's Chase, I love what you said. I think it's so accurate what you said about Micah and Chase, like, probably the most proven right now in the class. And I don't think that that's going to change because of the programs they're a part of, both travel and school. So they're in a situation where they're going to be coached insanely hard all the time. And they're just going to keep getting better and better and better. But I mean, the 2028 class, man, like it really has a chance to be special. So, again, shout out to you guys for getting those rankings out there for all the kids who, have done some excellent things. Congratulations, but your journey's just getting started. This is not, even if you're a senior in high school, you can't stop at this position. We've still got more work to do. So I would encourage you and implore you to get back in the gym and get back in the lab with your team and make sure that you're focused on those things. But let's address some misconceptions. So I think that this is kind of the next level of this conversation when we start talking about this idea of, I'll just say what I think it should be called, is this idea of narrative control. Everybody fights for rankings. I think that we're in a very dangerous world of politics where a lot of phone calls are made, things have been exchanged and text messages exchanged and whatnot. But when you start thinking about narrative control, I think that your perspective on this is really important, just with a kind of generic answer first. Does it matter where you go to school and what travel basketball program you play for when it comes to these rankings?
With to these rankings, no. I think context matters, sample size matters, and I think being seen in the right spots in the right places definitely
Right.
helps. Playing in a high level game and showing out is definitely better than playing in a irrelevant game and not. That said, when you speak to politics, a point that's worth making here is these rankings really don't mean anything at the end of the day. Coaches still have to see you. Coaches still have to offer. Until you can put pen to paper, nothing matters. You find even kids that are seniors can't commit to offers that they have on their offer sheet. So what does it all matter? It doesn't matter if you're ranked first if you can't go to college. So you can fight, you can advocate for your kid to be ranked higher, and maybe they deserve it, maybe they don't. But at the end of the day, these rankings can't save you. The whether
Right.
you're high
That's
or
well
low,
said.
they don't matter. They should not really play a factor into your long-term goals,
Right.
because at the end of the day, performing in front of college coaches matters more than what my perspective or anyone else's is of you.
And I think that, speaking to Aaron Parker, that did happen, right? Like, I think that he had a really good summer, and then he played in the Saros event in front of the right eyes. And I think you would agree, like that matters when it comes to you being in that situation to becoming what is now a nationally ranked player on three. Like, I think to me, what it reminds me of is, and I'll say this as a coach of a one of the more historic or the more successful high school programs in the last 12 years in North Carolina, which is the Burlington School. Like, it matters more what platform kids are on. And what I mean by that is, like, is your coach putting you in a position to be seen, whether that be on in AAU, whether that be in this situation, like your school ball team? Platform matters, and it matters tremendously. And so, if there was a situation where, Zay Hall was unproven and, he went to an independent team and, was killing it, like he would have tons of potential. I don't think he'd be labeled the same as what he is because of the decisions that they've made regarding his career and who he's playing for. I think that the same thing could be true of, someone like Garen, like him being able to be in a situation where the platform is higher and he is now in a situation where he's really thriving and speaking to college coaches daily and doing the whole nine and having very, high profile Ohio State in our gym yesterday for him, essentially. It makes me think a lot about that, but it is a big misconception because you can go on to one of these great places, but if they don't have people who are advocating you for you behind closed doors, then it doesn't matter.
Right.
What I try and talk about with it, and I got this term from Team Loaded, and I think that it's really great, is like, it's about like, we want to put the battery in your back so that you have the tools to be successful. But what does that mean on the correct platform in the correct situation? So I think that that plays a big role in it, much more than who and what you're playing for, more about who is advocating for you when it matters most.
Yeah, no, I think kind of to just add on to your point, I think just having resources and opportunities at your disposal is ultimately what you're getting at. If that's available at where your local high school is, perfect. Why leave? But if that's not, then greener pastures have been found for many kids, and opportunities with reclassification is also actively used
At
nowadays.
the end of the day, when you get inside the lines, you have to deliver.
Right.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
And to any player, whoever listens to this, I hope that's their number one takeaway is, I've seen, I can't even tell you the number of Instagram stories I saw. They sleeping on me. Oh, for real? That's my favorite. Oh, for real? OFR question mark. Like, yes, for real. That like that's how I want to respond. What do you mean, oh, for real? Like, have you gone in front of these people in front of the right eyes and destroyed the people in front of you? If the answer to that question is no, then yes, for real. That's what it means. Like, then you need to reflect on who you're playing for, the events you're playing in, the competition. What I love to hear is when you hear Derrick Rose and Eric Gordon talk about that Mean Streets team. I don't know if you've ever kind of listened to what they've said, but this unbelievable team from the Chicago area, kind of before all the shoe circuit stuff was taking off, they would go and look for where OJ Mayo was playing and go to those events.
I
Like,
mean,
where is that? Like, that's the type of stuff that gets you where you need to be. If you're not playing for a team that's doing that, guess what? You probably are not going to climb up anything.
I think that goes back to our previous episode where we talked about pickup culture and competitive.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Like,
All
truly an
full circle.
unbelievable thing. I mean, the other thing that I would say is, like, you can have people make phone calls to get into events or to get into camps or to get on teams or to get into schools or whatever. I'm just a big believer in head-to-head matchups. I always have been. That was my big thing with the draft with Lonzo and De'Aaron Fox, where it was like, I don't know what you want me to say. Like, I'm seeing him do this, but I don't know. So again, not to say that, that's always going to be the truth or it's a one size fits all type of deal, but that's just how I feel about it.
Yeah.
When we talk about some other misconceptions, like what are some common things that you think would be worth discussing? Like you've done this for a number of years now. Have you been a part of rankings as long as you've been at Phenom?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking about a decade worth of, this type of stuff. What are some other misconceptions that you would say in terms of the rankings conversation?
I mean, beyond their general worth and value. I don't know. I think that people just, I haven't heard a whole lot from these rankings, but I feel like people in general just, they just feel like the kid that they know should be higher. And that's easy for you to say because you see them all the time.
Sure.
It's a coach or, a parent or whatever. It's easy to think that the kid that you're seeing is better than the other kids if you haven't seen all the other kids.
Right.
Beyond that, I mean, is there anything that you think of?
No, I mean, I think that, the biggest thing that I would say is that it would be for it would not behoove you to focus on this and turn this into an end all be all if you were a player. I can tell you right now, based on the recruitment of guys that I've interacted with over the last calendar year, that there is this misconception that you have to be a 4 or 5 star player or a top 10 player in your state to be seen. And that is just simply inaccurate. Like, there are legitimately coaches who I've spoken to recently who have talked about our players or talked about players at Team Loaded and have just said, like, I don't care about 4 or 5 star status. The kid can shoot. I don't care about 4 or 5 star status. His motor's incredible. Like, I think that when we get back to those things, focusing less on what the ranking is and more on just playing basketball the correct way is naturally going to take care of itself. And we've lost our way in that. And I think you would agree with that.
Well, and I think, not in any of these rankings, but I think Cutter Sisk is a perfect example of this.
Nasty.
I don't want to throw too much shine on everything that he's done, but I mean, I just remember him coming to our event, the one event that they came to this year, him being an unknown player nationally. We had seen him previously. Patrick especially was the first guy that really came. He brought me to him and said, "You need to watch this kid." This is last year, but fast forward to this year. You had schools that kind of looked at him, saw what he was, unassuming in somewhat in nature. And then he just goes out and wrecks guys. Just wrecked everybody in his path. So that got him several offers, and then now he's in a position where his recruitment has definitely taken a leap, and now he's being posted actively on social media by big Twitter accounts, and
Right.
he's gaining traction with national media people. So that's just another case of it doesn't really matter where you're ranked. If you're seen by the right people, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And
Yeah.
that's a line of college coaches. That's not me. That's the others.
Well, that I would actually disagree with you on because I think that like it would be silly to leave this conversation and like belittle the eyes of the media in this way. I think that the role of the media right now is very common and very important in recruiting. I mean, you're called by college coaches. Jamie Shaw is called by college coaches. All these guys at 24/7 and ESPN, they're all called by college coaches because it's voices who have legitimately seen kids. And it's not just the highlight culture. Like Jamie Shaw, I saw actually suggested that we get into this like this discussion about how highlights have actually hurt or impacted recruiting in a certain capacity. And I think that he has a lot of valid arguments in that way because when you start thinking about like this is just a snapshot of your best stuff. So if it's not truly elite, then it's nothing. But also, a really diligent college coach is going to be in a position where they want a diagnosis or they want to watch full games
Sure.
because they want to see the good and the bad.
Sure.
And I think that you would say that rankings also are impacted by that. In some capacity.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something that's also a differential, different differentiator between, regional scouts like myself and national scouts.
Sure.
I think, like you said, college coaches are calling myself, Colby Tyler, frequently, about these kids because we've seen them so many times. We have such a large sample size, and we know their coaches personally and what have you. So I do think that plays a role. And these coaches, they are going to do their homework, and it is easier to talk to a regional scout and ask about the players that they need to be seeing, and then go see those players. It happens every year and throughout the summer, every single month, every upcoming live period. I know we all fielded calls from coaches about who to see and give them a list of players, and then we'd make that and so on and so forth.
What would you say to people who get excessively angry about the rankings? Like way over the top, like way too much, like whether it be a parent, whether it be a coach, whether it be a fan, how would you handle that? Or what are your thoughts about when those things happen? Because it's got to, honestly, like it's such a polarizing topic. It has to happen to you guys all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are a little bit more diplomatic because I don't want to frame it as like biting the hand that feeds, but I think it's what's to gain from trying to further anger the people that are controlling this. Not to say that we are controlling any narrative or anything, but and not to say that that would be harmful to a kid, something that was unrelated to basketball.
Right.
But yeah, I think people like even today I got a call. It's just if you have the right diplomatic approach about it, we can have a conversation about any kid and we can talk about it. Like I said, I got a call today asking about why a player was ranked where he was, thought other players should be lower, thought other players should be higher.
Right.
And it was a very calm conversation, like someone that I know, and respect. So it's fine.
I think that one of the things that I would try kind of implore everyone to do and challenge everyone to do is like what I have realized mostly throughout the course of this preseason is when you have coaches come into the gym and you have really genuine conversations with them as like human beings and not as like I have a kid you may want to recruit or like as a trans, you know what I mean? Like it's one of those situations where when you get into those conversations and you learn about people's families and you learn about what they've got going on, even outside of coaching, and these are at big schools, and we've been very blessed in that way to have a number of, high major programs and Division I programs and high performing Division III programs in our gym, which has been great. But coaches are people.
Yeah.
Like rankings are not going to rush their process. Like there's certain instances where it's a little different, right? Like you can look at that for King Gibson when we had him and he had offers as a freshman because it was tracked based on his potential and what he could become. But everyone's process is going to be different, but coaches are people, and I think members in the media are people, and I think that that's an important thing to remember is like they have lives outside of what's going on. This is not the only thing that they commit their time to. And you wanting something to be a certain type of way is not going to rush their process to do it the right way. And everyone needs to be aware of that. Regardless of what the 2027 rankings are, it is very, very difficult to be recruited as a 2027 player right now.
Yeah,
Right
no,
now.
100%.
Right now.
I and 28 obviously is the same
Even
way,
harder. Yes.
of course. But yeah, I think this is just it's ultimately important to remember. These have no hindrance. This is just part. This is ultimately just part of
Sure.
what it is. We and now that as Phenom is expanded, consider how many events we have each year. Consider how hard it is to see all these kids as
Sure.
much as we would like to. We have multiple events going on throughout the summer, every weekend, here and there. So, and then it goes into the high school season. So, luckily, the high school season affords us more of an opportunity to see these kids play for their high school teams in that structure, which I think personally is more valuable for me than the up and down of travel ball, though the competition can be higher in some instances. So,
Sure.
yeah, that's just something to watch out for going into the high school season, too.
No, I think that that's great. I think that that's great. Let's get into sound off. So this has been a great episode, kind of short and sweet, and maybe it'll make us reflect on how to do things moving forward, but maybe not, because this is a topic that's obviously so pertinent right now to everything that's going on, just with rankings dropping and everything like that. But I'll let you kick it off, man. You've done the honors for the ranking. So what do you got for the people to conclude the episode?
Hopefully people like us talking about rankings so that we can talk deeper in depth about each of these classes maybe going forward, because that would be cool. But my sound off going into these rankings and coming out, everything was honestly pretty solid. So I don't have a sound off for this week. Happy Jeff.
What that means is that there are not nearly enough angry parents about your rankings, or they're secretly listening to the podcast so they know not to contact you about any of this stuff.
Hey,
But that's a great place to be in for you.
all good vibes over here.
Holy crap.
Salt lamp is warm.
After dropping rankings, all good vibes is crazy. I never in a million years would have expected that. My sound off is about challenging our children, and specifically a message to parents. This evening, my wife and I and our daughter took my son Trey, who is 6 years old, to his first eight and under soccer game. That was a very difficult decision for us because we really loved the team that he was a part of with his six and under group, the Sharks. Great team, camaraderie. It was a co-ed league, and that's something that we had to reflect on a lot in terms of what was best for Trey and his development. And shout out to Trey, my son, because when we asked him, hey, you got a chance to go up and play in a more challenging league with older kids who are bigger, stronger, faster, You get to be with a few of your friends who are also moving up, but on the Sharks, you probably are one of the better players this year. And Trey said, "No, I want to move up. I want to play for the Braves." And shout out to the Braves tonight, who, as a mostly 6 and under team, who are playing on the 8 and under division, got their first win 2-0 tonight. Trey was super aggressive, which I love to see. I always give him 3 rules before every game. The first rule is to listen to your coaches. The second rule is to play as hard as you can. And the third rule is to have fun by supporting your teammates. And he's just done an excellent job of that. So I guess the biggest thing that I would say is the sound off is to parents, challenge them. I know that at certain points this season, my son is going to get his butt absolutely whooped. There's probably going to be tears in the car ride home. Things are going to be difficult because as you get older, winning matters more. Development is not sacrificed on that team at all, and their coaches are outstanding. So, huge shout out to Coach Jesus and Coach Jennifer. They've been awesome. But let's get back to a place where we can challenge our kids. A little less focus on trophies, a little more focus on development and really putting them in positions that are adverse and still fun. Because that's obviously the sweet spot for where growth is going to take place. But yeah, that would be my sound off for this fine Tuesday recording that we're making.
I think we need to steal Bill Simmons' parent corner that he does, and we
That's
can,
awesome.
in addition to the sound off, we can do a parent corner. You with your kids and me with my dog.
Perfect. Perfect.
I'll come up with some shenanigans each week.
It's a little too late for us to be recording for my kids, but eventually maybe we
No,
can
no,
get.
no, no, no. They don't get featured. It's just a story of something that happened.
Oh, perfect, perfect,
You
perfect.
already do
That's a
that with
great
your
idea.
sound off, so it works out perfect.
Oh, that's a great idea. I think that that's perfect. Perfect transition. But thank you to everyone for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please follow, subscribe, make sure that you're getting the updates on YouTube and on Instagram and Twitter for the things that we post. Eventually, Jeff will get his self together and he'll create the Instagram account and the Twitter account that needs to be created. I fully blame you for that and not take any ownership of that whatsoever.
Yeah, rightfully so. I said I would do it. I will.
But we appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thanks, and we'll talk to you soon.